Good morning, everyone. We're in Mark chapter 4, if you'll take your Bibles. We're in our Grace Growth Group Gifts Giving Series. This is the last study in our growth series. I want to say a personal thank you to Lynn Blair and Larry and Elaine. I don't know if you noticed it, but the music and the cover of the little handout always go with what I'm teaching. It's a total teaching period we have here. So I just wanted to say thank you for doing that. Today, our purpose is to gain insight into the nature of God's kingdom and how we can become better, more creative evangelists. I had a senior adult tell me this. You ministers, y'all are paid to be good. And you think about that. Think about that, okay? And he said, we laymen are good for nothing. Everybody is an evangelist.
Amen.
Everybody is an evangelist. And today we're going to look at the parable of the sower, the seed, and the soils. And this describes how the human heart responds to the truth. Mark Twain once said, it's not the parts of the Bible I don't understand that bother me. It's the parts I do understand. Now the parable that we're going to read today should encourage everyone that is a spiritual sower of the good news. The farmer we're going to see sowed good seed, but not all the seed sprouted. And even the plants that grew had varying yields of what they produced. So don't be discouraged when you faithfully distribute God's word, when you faithfully witness, if you don't immediately see the results. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, go and win. What does it say? Go and tell. Go and tell. Conversion results, people coming to Christ, cannot be based on a mathematical formula. In other words, it can't be. If four of us go out, then four of us should lead someone to Christ. All four of us should lead someone to Christ. Every time somebody comes to Christ, it's a miracle of the working of the Holy Spirit. The productivity is in God's hands, and we reluctantly have to trust Him to let Him do His job. Okay, point number one. A deeper kind of listening with the mind and heart is necessary in order to gain spiritual understanding of Jesus' word. Now I'm going to read verses 1 through 25. And I want you to see, as I read this, if there is a theme that jumps out at you. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around Him was so large that He got into a boat and sat in it on the lake, out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in His teaching said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell in rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came out, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. When He was alone, the 12 and the others around Him asked about the parables. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and never hearing but never understanding, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times that was what was sown. She said to them, do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? But for whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. So was there a word or was there a phrase that you heard repeated in those 25 verses? What was it? Okay, sowing. Ears. Parables. Let him hear.
And all the seed came up.
Right. What I wanted you to pick up on was the references to listen, the reference to ears, the reference to hearing. You see, our first responsibility as a follower of Christ is to be a good listener. Now, nobody ever gets an award for being a good listener. And listening has two requirements. The first one is time. It takes time to be a good listener. And secondly, it takes concentration. Time and concentration. So if you start your day with time with God and concentration with God, your day will get off to a much better start. Now, you don't have to raise your hand for this one. But how many of us like to tell the pastor what to do? Is anybody in here, you like to tell the pastor what to do? I mean, some people make it an art. They have a skill of telling the pastor what to do. Now, the people who followed Jesus wanted him to heal them. They wanted him to perform miracles. But what did Jesus say in chapter 4? Just listen to me. That's what he wanted them to do. Just listen to me. Okay? Dr. Stanley has a quirk in his messages. Listen. Watch him. He'll say that. Now listen. Now what is he trying to get us to do? Pay attention. This is important here. Instead, here Jesus is instructing the crowd to listen to what he was going to be saying because he had an important message. Now, this is the first parable recorded in Mark's Gospel. It gave a familiar picture to the audience of that day. Jesus talked about farming. Farming was very familiar to the people in that day. Now, as a farmer walked across the field, he sowed the seed. He would throw out handfuls of seed in hopes that some of them would take root and would yield a crop. Not like today where everything is done in efficient rows, you know, the mechanized farming today. And as we read the parable, you notice that some of the seed fell along the wayside and did not grow. So the farmer would throw seed liberally. And that's a good word here. He would throw it liberally. You know, he wanted it as much seed to be thrown, so hopefully some of it would be produced. Now, notice that some of the seed did not produce the crop. Did you notice that? It's no fault of the farmer, right? It's no fault of the farmer here. The farmer's expectation is that some of the seed would fall on good soil and that it would grow. He wasn't really concerned about the statistics here of the seed. Only, if you notice, only 1 in 4 had a chance of surviving. Did you notice that? Okay. That's 25%. Okay, that's a failing grade. That's the last time I checked. Okay. The farmer's just hoping for a good crop. Now, as witnesses for Christ, we also must sow the word liberally. Again, that's a positive term here. Praying that some of the soil will be good soil. Notice that, first of all, some of the seed fell on the footpath. And what happened to it when it fell on the footpath?
Trampled.
Possibly the birds came and ate it. Birds came and ate the seed. All right. Notice, secondly, that it fell among the rocks. And have you ever noticed that grass will grow in concrete, but it may not grow in your yard where it's supposed to grow? You ever noticed that? Now, the rocky places had some good soil, but not much of it. Okay. Third, notice that some of the soil fell among the thorns. You see that? When the thorns grew up, the seeds were choked out because of the overshadowing of the thorns. But fourth, notice that some of the seed fell on good soil. The seed multiplied, and as Scripture says, it would yield sometimes 30, 60, or even 100 times of the amount of seed sown. Number two, God reveals the truth to people who will act on it. All right, let's pick up at verse 9. Mark chapter 4, verse 9. Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that this may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Why do some people accept God's truth and others do not accept God's truth? Why do some people accept it and some people don't accept it? People who don't accept it aren't ready for it. They're not ready. God reveals truth to people who will make it visible in their lives. So when you talk to people about God, be aware that they may not understand it because they're not ready yet. They're not ready. So we have to do something that's very difficult for all of us. We have to be patient. We have to be patient. We need to take every opportunity to share the truth that God has given us. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will open the mind and the heart and reveal the truth to people when they're ready to accept it. Now, Jesus is quoting Isaiah here, and if you want to make note of it, that's chapter 6, Isaiah 6, verses 9 through 13. Jesus is explaining to this inner group of followers that the crowd of that day resembled the Israelites to whom Isaiah was writing. God had told Isaiah that the people would not listen. I mean, the people would listen, but they wouldn't repent. They would listen, but they wouldn't repent. They would not learn from the message because their hearts had been hardened beyond repentance. But God continued to send the prophets. Why? He wanted the people to hear. Now, Jesus came on the scene hundreds of years after the prophet Isaiah. But notice the scenario is still much the same. Most would not repent. Most of the Jews would not repent because they have those hardened hearts. But a few of them would listen. A few of them would turn away from their sins and believe. See, it's not for us to understand who's going to believe and who's not going to believe. That's not our responsibility. That's God's responsibility. We're simply to trust God and proclaim His message. Number three, four soils represent four different ways people respond to God's message. Verse 13. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. At your tables. You thought I'd forgotten about you. Okay. At your tables, what can you do to become the kind of soil that Jesus is looking for? Ready, go. What can you do to become the kind of soil Jesus is looking for? What can you do to become the kind of soil Jesus is looking for? Okay, Winnie's already risen to the head of the class here. She says, open to God's word. Okay, what else comes to your mind? Repentance of your sins. Good. Thank you. What else? Act on what you hear. First, we've got to hear it. And then we need to act on what we hear. Right? This preacher was preached every Sunday. And you know, I don't know if this ever happens to you, but you ever feel like he was preaching to you? You ever feel like that? Okay. Well, this preacher was really preaching to one person, you know, every Sunday, you know, and he would never respond to the gospel. Never responded. One day, this was up north, a blizzard came, and this old fella and the pastor were the only two people who got to church that day. And so the pastor said, well, you know, Joe, should I preach? And he said, well, I'm a dairy farmer. If only one cow shows up, I milk her, you know. So the preacher said, well, this is my chance. So he just unloaded on him, you know, just all four barrels, you know, preached his guts out. Gives an invitation. Old Joe doesn't walk down the aisle again, you know. And so pastor stands at the door to greet Joe, who was the only person there. And Joe said, well, if they'd have been here, they'd have heard it. So first we need to hear what's being said. Then we need to act on what's being said. Okay. So what can we do to be the kind of soil Jesus is looking for? Look at verse 15. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. See, some people are like seed along the path. As soon as they hear it, what happens? Satan comes and takes it away from them. Now, this parable reveals the way that people respond in different ways to God's message. And see, the word sometimes makes no impression on people. Makes no impression on people. As soon as they hear it, Satan takes it away. Perhaps the person doesn't feel a need in his or her heart to accept the word. Now, Satan has no trouble with these people because they're exactly where he wants them to be. They're unresponsive to the gospel. Think about it this way. There's some new Christians that as soon as they become a Christian, they're so excited about their relationship with Christ, right? I mean, they're here Sunday morning, as Lynn said, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They're here every time the door is open. They are temporarily very enthusiastic about that relationship with Christ. But it may have been just an emotional response. They're still very unstable. They're still very shaky in their faith. And this explains possibly why some Christians fall away. while they stray. It's because the seed really never took root. It also is a message for the mature believers that we need to come alongside new believers and walk with them and show them the way. Yeah. How many of you, when you accepted Christ, the church immediately began a discipling program with you? Doesn't happen very often. Okay. More than likely, it's welcome to the family. We hope this works out for you. It's important for the mature believers to come alongside the new believers. You see, evangelism cannot go without discipleship. The two go hand in hand together. Okay? Jesus said, go and make disciples. That's evangelism. But then what's the next part of the Great Commission? Teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. So evangelism and discipleship have to go together. Verse 16. Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Now these people joyfully received the good news. They joyfully received all the promises that the good news had to offer. They grow a bit. They grow a bit, and initially they show some positive signs of growth. These are the people who understand the basics, okay? But they don't allow God's truth to work its way deep into their soul so that it makes a difference in their life. You see that? There needs to be a difference. Once we become a Christian, there needs to be a difference. This group of people, their faith has no roots and only lasts a short time. What happens when trouble comes their way? What happens when trouble comes their way? What does it say? They fall apart, don't they? They fall apart. Why is God doing this to me? Why is God allowing this to happen? And see, Satan uses sorrow and trouble and distress and persecution to draw people away from God. And when I counsel with people that are in deep distress, I always tell them, God's reminding you that He's here and He's near you. And this is a time to draw closer to God, not to run away from Him.
Amen.
You know? I mean, sometimes God is saying, hello, is anybody home here? You know? So when you face persecution, when you face sorrow, when you face trouble, this is not time to run away from God. It's a time to run to Him. Verse 18. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word and make it unfruitful. Now this is Satan's smartest tactic of all. Notice these people hear the word and accept it. They allow it to take roots in their heart, giving hope for the harvest. But notice the thorns come in and choke out the growing seed. A good word here for Christians is distractions. Things that distract us away from God. Things that rob our joy. Things that take away our happiness. Time killers. It's time that we're not allowed to spend in with God's Word. Satan delights in taking these away. And see if any of these things are applicable in your life. Worries. Satan loves to use worries to distract us from God. Chasing material things. Satan loves to do that with us. You know, trying to keep up with the neighbors. And then just coveting anything. You know, desire for other things other than God. Anything that replaces God, anything that distracts a person, was just like what was going on in the first century. It's still going on today. It's easy for a Christian to get distracted and take their eyes off of Jesus. Now, these are wayside people. These are people who just refuse to believe in God's message. The rocky soil people, they believe the message, but they never got around to doing anything about it. The thorn patch people, they leave no room for God in their lives. But now let's look at the good soil people. The good soul people follow Jesus no matter what. No matter what. Verse 20. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. Now, these are the true disciples. Not only do they hear the word and accept it, look what they do. They believe the words and they tell others. Notice that seed bears other seed. Those who tell others about Jesus will lead them to Christ. That person leads somebody else to Christ. You know Johnny Hunt, pastor at First Baptist Woodstock, Georgia? When he got there, the church was 200. It's now probably 8,000 today. I don't know. Yeah. When they have baptism service, they usually last 45 minutes. Now, let me tell you why they're so long. The person who led the person to Christ does the baptizing. Okay? And the person doing the baptizing says, now the reason I'm up here today is because, and he'll give the name, so-and-so told me about Christ, and now I'm a follower of Christ. And now I told this new candidate about Christ. And that's why it's so long. Yeah, but the person who led the person to Christ is the one doing the baptizing. You know, it's a really beautiful thing. Notice here, the believers who are the good soil, they produce a crop. Now, there's still varying yields, so I don't want you to be discouraged about your productivity. God's not concerned about your productivity. He's concerned about your effort. Number four. Many Christians today are hidden from sight, reluctant to be identified as Christians. Verse 21. He said to them, do you bring a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. Notice here that Jesus is saying, I'm not deliberately trying to hide the truth from people. See, that would be like putting a lamp under a bushel basket where nobody can see it. If Jesus were hiding the truth, there would be no point in him teaching it. If we continue to hold the truth that we have so precious and keep it a secret, what good does it do? See, the purpose of the parable was not to conceal the truth. The purpose of the parable was to reveal the truth. Now, the disciples may have been beginning to understand the mission of Jesus here. You see, like the farmer, what is the disciple's role? What's our role? Sow. Jesus illuminates the truth in us. Our job is to distribute it. You see, now the disciples are going public. As soon as we have a relationship with Christ, we need to go public with this. We don't need to keep the salvation to ourselves. Jesus continued, although the truth may be hidden, it may be kept secret for a while, it will not remain so. Because one day, everyone is going to understand the truth. It's our responsibility to take as many people with us to heaven. Yes, sir. After we sow, the important thing is to continue to nurture that person. That's discipleship. That's discipling. Okay? And you think about raising your child. Okay? Think about raising your child. You know? you wouldn't dare take an infant and put the formula there on the counter and say, okay, go for it. You have to mix the formula up and then give it to the baby, right? See, Jesus is speaking here of a different kind of listening. Hearing not with your ears, but hearing with your mind and your heart. Only then can we have a spiritual understanding of these parables. And because the parables are so important, Jesus is reminding us to pay attention to what he is teaching here. So the people who listen and understand are those who have to them the most precious thing of all. Did you exercise this morning? I quit. Yeah, getting out of bed may be the exercise, right? I quit calling it workout, you know? I quit calling it workout. I call it exercise, okay? Now, what happens if you've not exercised a muscle? David, what happens to the muscle if you don't exercise it after a while? Atrophy, okay? And when you start working that old unused muscle, what happens? It hurts, it's sore, right? You have pain that you never thought you had pain like that before, right? The same is true with our faith. If we never exercise our faith, our faith becomes weak. Okay? And God's not calling everybody to be a Billy Graham. Okay? In fact, when you get to heaven, God's not going to say, why weren't you more like Billy Graham? He's going to say, why weren't you more like you?
Amen.
All right? And some of you are going to be very good at confronting. You're a confrontationalist. You're going to boldly share that faith. My father-in-law is like that. He's a confrontationalist. He will boldly share his faith, you know? And that's one of the times that I violate thou shalt not covet, because I covet that ability to be able to just quickly recognize when somebody is not a believer. You know? Others of you are more intellectual. You know, you have an intellectual approach. You know? Others of you are storytellers. You like to tell stories. Tell your story of how you came to Christ. Okay. Others of you are servants. You demonstrate the love of Christ by serving, and people see Christ in you. I have a friend that's a mechanic with Delta Airlines, and he's working on an engine beside another mechanic, and the other mechanic is just pouring his heart out to him. You know, my wife's about to leave me and all these things. And my friend bought him a book that had to do with how to improve your marriage, and he gave it to him the next day. And he said, he knew he wasn't a Christian. And he said, now, the book talks about Christ. And the mechanic said, I don't care if it talks about Christ or whoever. If it'll save my marriage, I'll take it. Well, that was the way that my friend witnessed, as he did an act of kindness. Okay, it really doesn't matter what your style is. You need to sow the seed. That's right. Number five, spiritual growth is a continual, gradual process. I want you to look at verse 26. He also said to them, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, and then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch at shade. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. We can begin to understand the growth process by comparing it to this mustard seed. Notice that the man scattered the seed. Obviously, there'd be no crop where the seed had not been planted. However, after the planting, The man goes about the responsibilities night and day. It doesn't think about the seed. Even though the farmer doesn't understand the actual process of growth, his ignorance doesn't stop him from sowing. Now, parallel that to the believer. We don't really understand the miracle of how someone comes to salvation. You may feel like that you cannot confidently explain to somebody how to become a Christian, but that shouldn't prevent you from doing it. The disciples, wondering about the difficult mission ahead of them, were told by Jesus, don't worry about how the kingdom will grow. That's God's job. Your job is to do what? Sow the seed. In the same manner God's heart grows, the same way that God grows in all of us is a mystery. And it happens without any intervention on our part. We sow the seed and allow God to allow it to grow.
Amen.
Now, have you ever been part of one of those evangelism training opportunities? And you had to memorize long scripts. Done that? And there was a test, right? There was an exam there in the class where you had to recite the script. And in seminary, you had to be word perfect. Okay? Well, there was a time when, there have been many times when we had those classes that I was a part of at church. And you have this resistance. People don't want to memorize anything anymore. But nevertheless, you know, there was a good number of people that showed up. Well, then the dreaded night comes when you have to go out of the church and share what you've learned. And so a guy comes back. Everybody comes back to the church and you're supposed to report, you know, what kind of success did you have, all right? What kind of success did you have? How many doors did you knock on? How many people did you share the gospel with? And how many responded? And a guy got up to tell his story, one of our classmates. He said, I knocked on this door and I completely blew it. And I admired his honesty. You know, I'm thinking, now where is this going? He said, yeah, the fourth part I got first, and the third part I put last, and the first part I had in the middle. He said, I just got it all mixed up, you know. He said, I was so nervous. The reason that you're nervous is because there's a spiritual battle going on, because Satan doesn't want you to be sharing the gospel. But his worries overcame him, his nerves overtook him, and he just messed the whole thing up. And then you ask the man at the door, well, I don't guess you really want to accept Christ. And the guy said, yes, I do. So even if you mess it up, God still gets the victory.
Amen.
Again, our job is not to go and win. Our job is to go and tell.
Well, I'm just reminded that sometimes our job is to go and tell, and sometimes that is the way we live our life. I most of you know that I retired from teaching. And about 15 years ago, John had actually accepted a position at another church, and I was living in an apartment letting Ashley finish her senior year, and I got a phone call on my cell phone. Mrs. Moody, you probably do not recognize my voice or my name. And he told me who he was, and I said, absolutely, I know who you are. He said, well, it took a long time for me but I went through about 10 people to finally get your phone number. And I just wanted to call and tell you, and it had been 20 years since I taught him, like, my first years of teaching. And he said, it's been like 20 years since you've heard my voice, and you probably have very bad memories. And I did. And he said, first of all, I would like to thank you for all this time you sent me to the administration, all this time you sent me to class. I said, okay, thank you. And he said, yes. He said, But the most important thing was I was sitting in a church service, and I think, you know, was my first reaction. And he said, and we were told that we should always be sure and thank the person that, you know, showed us Jesus. And he said, I'm calling to thank you. And I said, I have no earthly idea what you're talking about. He said, oh, I know. I know you couldn't get up in class and preach and whatever. And he said, but I knew, everybody knew, that you were a Christian. And he knew that Mr. John, he was Mr. John at the time, just because of the way y'all handled us. And we saw Jesus in you. And when asked, you would answer the question. And I can remember somebody, you know, just being in the choir room and talking. It wasn't class, and somebody would ask you something about Jesus. And he said, well, after I graduated, I got in a lot of trouble. And he said, some of those days that I saw Jesus is what caused me to search. I never had the opportunity to share God, you know. Right. But hopefully, you know, the life that you live plants that seed that enables someone else to reap the harvest. And so that, you know, this morning I'm reminded of that. The Bible tells us to go and tell. And sometimes we're not in a position that we can verbally do that, but it's with our life. So seeds are planted. And 20 years later, I found out that a seed had been planted.
Amen.
And, you know, that was really a cool thing and a reminder. It's also a scary reminder. Is our life pointing the right thing, you know, and saying the right thing and pointing in the right direction?
Yeah. Apollos planted, Paul watered, and God gave the increase. And the last thing I want to say is that the great evangelist Louis Palau uses a chain to describe the way people come to Christ. Links of chain. Rarely, he says, are we the first person to tell somebody about Christ. I mean, they've never heard it. You know, rarely do we have that privilege. Occasionally, we're fortunate to be the last link on the chain where we, like Patricia gets to do a lot of Sundays, pray with somebody and they accept Christ. More than likely, we're one of those links in the middle. And that's really all God is asking us to do, is be a link in the middle. Let me pray, because my time's up, and we'll catch up later, okay? Thank you, Lord, for the power of the gospel. Now give us the confidence and the boldness and the opportunity to share it. And I pray that we recognize the opportunity when it's in front of us to be witnesses for you. In Jesus' name, amen.